back hello. To it.
Hello? You here? You there?
Hello?
Let's do it.
Well, I don't know, man. You're rustling papers over there.
Oh, dude, you know what? It's actually not papers. It's my cat absolutely just trying to sabotage the beginning of this episode. She has been, like, just walking all over my desk, tail in the face, stepping on my keyboard, bumping into my headphones, everything. So we can blame Stevie. If you hear a rogue meow during the show, that's her.
Let's get a meow. Come on.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean she's gonna try her hardest, absolute hardest to.
She can't do it on command.
No, I don't think so, Stevie. Nope. No tricks. No tricks. Oh my goodness, dude! I'm super excited for this episode. I'm so happy to be talking on this show today after we got to witness the, I guess, end of the first round of the regular season, in-season tournament, however we're calling it, the in-season tournament, wow, the regular season tournament.
It. No, you nailed it. Put that on the poster.
I mean, what? Year. I mean, and like, and I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek a little bit. I know it's called the in-season tournament, but I've seen so many people recently just be so confused about the whole thing and the point differential being a factor and all of that, blah, blah, blah. The Kings, I guess it played out perfectly from maybe an understanding of the – like a better understanding of the in-season tournament if you're a Kings fan. Because the scenario that we had a few days ago against the Warriors, if you were a Kings fan, and we're going to get into a little bit of the in-season tournament and kind of our thoughts on – you know, whether or not we like it or not. But specifically, I think we had a good example of how weird this in-season tournament actually can be. Because the scenario that was playing out for the Sacramento Kings the other day on Tuesday when they were playing the Warriors, they were going to get into the next round of the in-season tournament in one of two ways. Either they had to win that game or they couldn't lose the game by more than 12 points. So we're watching that game, obviously, and the Kings are getting blown out basically through the majority of that game. It was awful.
Oh,
it was so hard to watch.
It was unwatchable.
It really was. But I kept texting my dad and calling my dad throughout and my mom throughout this whole thing because they were watching and blah, blah, blah. That game would have felt so unsatisfying if the Kings would have lost by six but still moved on. Because of the point differential, like that would have been like, I at that point, I think I would have just rather us lose, you know, like which I think speaks to the in-season tournament a little bit. And I guess the importance of it or how much we deem it to actually be important or not. Like, I don't know. What were your thoughts going on in that game? Because that was a weird like game as a fan, because like, OK, yeah, like I really want us to win, but. I guess it's okay if we lose because we'll still move on. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, taking it from the wide scope, I think the in-season tournament has been a huge success for one. And I think that can be completely attributed to the coaching staff and the players that have, I don't know, like made it mean something. Like this trophy, this in-season tournament trophy now – for some reason, these players care, and it was just created out of thin air, and it has made these games absolutely awesome, except if you're a Bulls fan.
Well, for two reasons, if you're a Bulls fan. One, because they didn't do well, but two, because you just can't watch the game because the court is so ugly.
There are some ugly courts. And I think, you know, the Kings court actually is one of the better ones.
And it wouldn't have been had they gone purple. If they would have made the court purple, I would not have liked the Kings court. So thankfully they went with that gray, which just made it so much easier. Because didn't the Lakers do like a gold court, like just like almost all yellow?
Oh, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Like that was horrendous.
But from that, I think it's just been awesome because these players seem like they really care. And the coaches have been preaching that this is a opportunity for them to get their rotations, kind of see what playoff basketball would look like. And we're only in November. And I agree to that wholeheartedly. I think the Warriors, the way Steve Kerr was coaching that game, was more akin to a playoff scenario. Their rotation was a little bit smaller. I think that's why Moody was taken out in that game when he was hot, because they tried to give more of the minutes to Wiggins, Draymond, Clay, Looney, sort of to see what that lineup, that closing lineup would look like in the playoffs when they could do it in that scenario. But Mike Brown had the complete opposite approach. Keon Ellis got in this game, Kessler Edwards got in this game, anyone on the Kings, Duarte, Sasha got in.
Saved the game for the Kings.
Yep, he was wet. But there was just, I think that aspect is really cool as a fan, because we can see, oh yeah, like Fox, his production in the in-season tournament, he's averaging like 36 points a game, mm-hmm. right? Which is more of what his form was in the playoffs. I think this stage almost gives him the opportunity to, oh yeah, this game means a little more to, say, the game that they just played against the Clippers. Like, they want this win a little bit more. And the game against the Timberwolves as well. I think that in-season tournament game on Friday was a really big opportunity to play one of the best teams in the West that you might see in the playoffs in a big-time environment. And that's just, you get so much more confidence and data going in as a team. And as a fan base, we know so much more of what the Kings might look like in the playoffs.
Let me ask you, do you think the team is missing Keegan Murray as much as I feel like they are? Because I feel like in times when the offense really gets... Okay, let me back this up, because I was gonna jump a little bit further. I'm gonna sound, I think, a little bit harsh in my critique on Duarte. I know that he offers a lot defensively, but offensively, the past couple games, I've noticed a bit of a spacing issue for the Kings sometimes offensively, because Duarte just is not the outside threat that Keegan Murray is.
Yep.
And I've noticed teams collapsing a little bit more on the Kings, and the fact that Keegan has become one of our better defenders, I feel like I'm noticing it so much more drastically now that he's out, because of that defensive like prowess that he has. But also, mm-hmm. like I said, on the offensive side, I mean, what he gives you offensively is not what Duarte gives you, and it hasn't helped that Duarte has not really played all that well.
Offensively, I think defensively, Duarte's put in that effort. I think what he gives the Kings defensively is exactly what Mike Brown is looking for, that kind of point of attack person that's able to take a Steph all the way up the court. If it wasn't for foul trouble, I think he probably would have been in more. And it sort of allows De'Aaron to take a little bit less of responsibility on the defensive side, so that he can play more aggressive and more energetic on the offensive side, I think is his whole thing. The sucky part about Duarte is we're talking about a guy that averaged 17 points in the NBA a couple of years ago for the bad Pacers team, where he was able to put up a lot of shots. I think the shot hasn't been there for him. He hasn't been making as many open threes, and he's getting a lot of open corner threes and different things like that. And with that catch and shoot shot not working, his decision-making just isn't quick enough for this offense. The biggest thing with Keegan is he doesn't have the ball in his hands for very long on offense. And that allows their offense to move really smoothly with him either catching and immediately putting that ball up to shoot, whether that's going in or not. He is able to make that decision and allow their offense to go smoothly. Duarte catches, hesitates, kind of dribble, drives, gets stuck, and then their offense just gets stuck in that way. So I think that's more to do with Keegan being in that offense longer than Chris. It's tough. I think, would Keegan have turned that game around for the Kings against the Clippers that they just got absolutely blown out against? Maybe. He gives them some length and gives them some different options to send at a guy like Kawhi, a guy like Paul George, James Harden, different things like that. But I think they've been able to really work without him.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's part of the reason why I bring it up is the last two games the Kings have played against the Clippers and then the Warriors, Duarte played 13 minutes against the Clippers, and they played 14 minutes against the Warriors. So he's not, I mean, despite being in the starting lineup, he's not getting the run that you would expect. I get he's not a usual starter, but Malik and Trey Lyles are playing more than him. Sasha the other night against the Warriors played more than him. I get he was the hot hand, so there's a little bit of that in that equation. But even against the Clippers, like Duarte played 13 minutes. Malik and Sasha both played more. Trey played more. Davion Mitchell played more.
Well, they were getting blown out in that game, but yeah.
Right. But, I mean, still, you have all the regular starters at that point getting 34, 26, 31, 38. Malika is normally close to 30. I'm not trying to dump on Duarte. What I'm saying is I'm just really noticing how much of a difference Keegan really makes for us offensively and defensively. And it is noticeable when he's not out there because you just see Mike Brown really having to kind of go a little bit deeper into the bench to get some production. Like Sasha had not been playing a lot. Nope. And now I think because potentially he's just needed a little bit more of an offensive punch because Duarte's not giving it, you're starting to see the bench rotation become a little bit, I guess, bigger or expanded, at least for now. So that's just something that I've been noticing in Keegan's absence. And then one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about this in-season tournament.
Yep.
And we'll back up away from the Kings and go just like big picture. Do you think it's a little... Do you think the timing of the in-season tournament, it should be a little bit farther along in the season? Because it seems to me like the first 15-ish games for teams, I mean, they're still really just figuring out their rotation. They're really just figuring out who's going to be starters, who's going to be key bench guys, who's going to come in at certain times, all this thing. Teams are just – they're getting their legs back underneath them. So I think having the in-season tournament games take place so early for teams, I think might be a little detrimental. I think it would benefit the league and teams to maybe start the in-season tournament because it's not very long. So to maybe start the in-season tournament around game like 20 or 25 and then have it end right at around, I don't know, game 40 or 50.
I mean, I completely disagree with that, to be honest. All right. I think the timing of it is perfect. When have we paid attention? When has, like, I don't know, the mass media paid attention to basketball during the heat of football season? Like right now, the NBA is grabbing headlines from peak NFL and college football time.
Mm-hmm.
With this in-season tournament. I think everyone, whether you like it or don't like it, and I think really it's been received widespread positivity this year. You have an opinion on it. And
right.
So let's try to put ourselves, if we're to move this tournament back and you have a team like Chicago, a team like Washington, why are they incentivized to play very hard in the in-season tournament? Not at all. They're already full tank mode at this point. And so then you're putting that product on a bigger national TV because now the in-season tournament, they have this stage on Tuesdays and Fridays that the NBA is trying to prop up as their big, big days during the week away from football. So you're going to be putting Washington, who's already tanking, already one of the worst teams in the league, on those stages later in the year. And we already know what they look like. No one's going to tune in for that. But at the beginning of the year, there's still hope. Like you have teams like Houston, who's playing out of their mind, yet they can't win a road game. But they believe and they have this aura about them that they're this big surprise team, and that's why they're playing so hard in the in-season tournament. There's a little bit of intrigue with them before they were eliminated that, oh my gosh, they can make it out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing. So there's that still hope factor. So everyone's still playing as hard as possible. And I think the biggest thing for me is the saying pressure makes diamonds, right? Let's throw these guys, these teams into pressure situations. I get they're not ready. Of course not. The Clippers are going to be a million times better than they are right now by the end of the year.
Hopefully not, because they just blew us out.
Well, I mean, we'll get to the Kings defense, but these teams, yeah, you're right. I mean, Denver's not at full strength because Jamal Murray's injury and all these factors. Dame and Giannis took a while to get going, but they've finally looked like they're a crazy good team with those two.
Mm-hmm.
But you have these opportunities and these stages for really these teams to either, I don't know, stay afloat almost. Like it's either you stay swimming, you stay treading water, or you drown with this in-season tournament.
Yeah, no, again, and I was thinking of it more from a player standpoint. You bring up a good point about a marketing thing. Like from a marketing standpoint, yes, having the in-season tournament be very early on is beneficial to the NBA because they're competing with the NFL at this point, which pretty much dominates every single week regardless. You could put the NBA on NFL on at any time throughout the year, and it'll probably just dominate the week anyway. So I understand that. But I don't know. Because your argument against mine, yours is always going to win. Because it's going to – because at the end of the day, the NBA is a business, and the business is trying to make money. And if at the beginning of the year, if that's the time of year where you're making the least amount of money, you put this tournament in to hopefully make it a point of the year where you're making a lot more money. So I get that. So my argument about the players and the product on the court is never going to win. But
well, do you think the basketball's like not as good in the in-season?
I don't think it's necessarily.
Is that what it is? Is it like sloppy or?
I'm not sure if it's necessarily not as good, but I do think that there might be situations where you have teams that legitimately are going to be contending for, the NBA championship, who at the beginning of the season just get off to a slow start because it's just the beginning of the year, and that's kind of the way things go sometimes.
So I'll give you a lot of credence here. So we're talking about Minnesota Timberwolves, Thunder, OKC Thunder. We're both in the group with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those teams are top three in the West right now, and they don't move on to the in-season tournament. So it's like, oh my gosh, we're limiting this product that's being put out. I mean, you have the Lakers who I think are in a play-in spot right now. You have the Kings who might be a seventh seed. You have the Suns are one of those perennial teams up there. And then the Pelicans, who really knows what the Pelicans are looking like. So it's like, we're not putting the best four teams in the Western Conference out there. But I think that's also kind of – so that kind of gives credence to what you're saying. Like, we would want Denver versus Minnesota and OKC versus Phoenix, right? If we really wanted the best teams this early on or at a certain time, right?
Yes and no. I'm not necessarily sure if it's – because, again, I do like the parity. I think it's just one of those – things for me where it's like I'm like, because the parity is something that I've advocated for in the playoffs in just in previous years. I like when there are teams like I like when I'm going to use the Kings as an example, and because I feel like, and it's homerish from our standpoint because we're Kings fans, but they're a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 100 million years, so the fact that they were there was really cool. Like if like the Magic this year right now, the Magic are 13-5. If they continue this and they make it in the playoffs, that's going to be really cool because that's going to be new blood in the playoffs. So right. It's not necessarily the parity. I guess I'm just trying to think about like when we played, just taking it back to being like just playing sports throughout our entire lives. Like there is something true about that those first couple games really just being the games where you're getting your feet back underneath you. And when you have an 82 game season, you know, the first 10-15 games are really when coaches are trying to figure everything out because they have a lot of time throughout the course of the year to, you know, solidify what roles everybody's going to be going into. So it's not necessarily a parity thing for me. I guess I'm just trying to think of it as like if we are going to say that this in-season tournament is going to be as competitive as it can possibly be, I think putting it at game, like starting it at game 15 is where that would happen, because teams have, they almost have like prepped for the in-season tournament in that way. If it really means something to these teams, then in those first 15 games, you can kind of prep for it. And then going into those in-season tournament games at game 15, everybody's solidified what they're going to do and the strategy that they're going to take into these games, instead of it happening like in game 3, when you might be testing out a new starting lineup at that point.
If we're going to like the college model, like when teams are traveling before conference play and they're playing tournaments against other conference teams, like the ACC SEC Challenge Tournament or the tournament that's in Hawaii, right? Like, I think it's not as big of a almost deal if a team loses. Like, the fact that Denver didn't make it to pass the group stage in the in-season tournament isn't looked down upon, because I think it's what you're saying. It's like, well, it's so early in the year. Like, that's not what Denver is going to be looking like.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it also should be a, like a reward, a push up. Like, we know the Kings, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Boston, all these teams still have more room to grow, but they're still playing well right now when it counts. So I think mm-hmm. it's like that opportunity aspect. Players that are able to play this hard and this well early in the year should be looked more favorably on when the season's all said and done in terms of all NBA awards and different things like that.
Right. Just to put some like closing thoughts on this overall, what have been your just like takeaway thoughts of the in-season tournament just so far, just having this be the first iteration of it?
I think they did a really good job with this being the first, like this just coming from being a theory to what it is now. And of course they took inspiration from like different in-season soccer tournaments and different things like that. Like this wasn't the first time that a professional sports league has done this, mm-hmm. but for the NBA to incorporate it and it being so smooth, I think, especially with the fact that how we've had like, oh, like the Kings can play the Pelicans either December 4th or December 5th. The fact that they have that flexibility within the schedule is really nice. And it just seems like it's run so smoothly. I think some improvements is the way the group is determined, the ranking for the group. I think the, like what you were saying, if the Kings ended up losing by only 11 to the Warriors, would we be sitting here celebrating? It's like, right. we just lost our third game against the Warriors at home, pretty much got destroyed the entire game. And if they back into an 11 point loss, it's like, yay, we get to move on. Woo.
Yeah, like that would feel so weird.
Oh, it'd be bizarre. Like, would the team celebrate? Would it be like, cool, we made it past? No, I doubt it. But it'd just right. be weird. So I think I've heard Candace Parker said on TNT that it should be based off of your current seeding within the conference. Mm. So if the Kings have a higher seeding, I guess it would be against the Warriors, then they would have still moved on anyway. I've heard Bill Simmons suggested that they make it three divisions per conference. So you have like six teams
right.
in each division. So you have more games to determine a little bit more. So you play five games instead of the normal four that they did this year.
Right.
So there's just a little bit more delineation between teams.
I think my one, like if I could, if I could just pick one change for the next season, because obviously this isn't going away, I would say I would hope, and maybe this is something that they announced and I just totally missed it. They have West Group A, B, and C, and they have East Group A, B, and C. I hope that next season, like it changes. Like we're not in the same, it's like, it's not the Kings, Timberwolves, Warriors, Thunder, and Spurs next year. I like do a random division, like maker and you know, just each year. So that way you're not playing the same teams every year in the in-season tournament. You know what I mean? Like maybe yeah, next year it could be like the Kings, Nuggets, Pelicans, Jazz, and Grizzlies or something.
Well, I think because this year they had like Denver, Memphis, and Sacramento in different groups because they finished as the first three.
Mm-hmm.
So they did do it based off of like seeding, I think, this year. So I think it would work the same the following year.
Right. Yeah. As long as we get parity each year, I think that'll continue to make it more interesting as the years go on. So, all right. So that was a lot about the in-season tournament. We can do a quick blurb about the Kings if you have any thoughts coming out of the Warriors and then the Clippers game, which was just awful.
So off the top of your head, like what superstar is probably playing the worst this season?
What's like just superstar in the NBA?
Yeah, like who's just having like a really off year?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by superstar. Clay certainly hasn't been himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
like Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine, well. Yeah, Zach LaVine.
James Harden's been playing bad.
Has Jimmy?
The reason I bring it up is, I think the biggest story going into that Warriors Kings game was, oh man, Wiggins has just been playing awful. Like all his numbers are down.
Yeah, that's true.
Clay's been playing awful. That's like widely known. But they had their best games of the season against the Kings,
right?
Coincidence? Probably not, because against the Clippers, who's been having an off year? James Harden, for sure. Oh my gosh, he started his like prep for the season 5 games into the regular season once he got traded. And he has his best game in a Clippers uniform against the Kings. Something's got to change.
And, you know, I think it's funny because I don't know if the Kings like defense overall has necessarily gotten better this year, but I feel like their individual defense has gotten better. Like I have some stats with Fox the other night, like when they played the Warriors, he guarded Steph for 25 possessions. And in those 25 possessions, Steph scored 5 points, went 2 for 9, had 0 assists and 1 turnover. And like Fox has been outstanding on defense this year.
Can we just say that set is kind of skewed?
It is a little bit skewed, but I'm just trying. And then Keegan noticeably has gotten way better individually as a defender. And I feel like there are plenty of moments that I can point to this year where I can say, oh man, like that was an outstanding defensive possession for us. And I didn't feel like I could say that a ton last year, by the way. But with that being said, I don't know how much it's actually showing up from a stats standpoint. So it's weird to say. I do think that our defense is better, even if our stats aren't necessarily highlighting that. So maybe those two things can't both exist, and it feels weird to like say both of those things because they're complete opposites of each other. But I don't know. Like, do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, it definitely looks different, even if the outcome isn't necessarily there right now.
Well, I think so. The Kings were either by far the worst team or like the second worst team in terms of points allowed last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they gave up like 118 a season ago. This year, I think they're giving up about 113, and it's early in the year, but a 5-point difference is kind of huge. The biggest thing for the Kings is they're scoring about 9 points less per game
right
than they were a season ago. I think that's more to do about they're not getting the same production shooting wise. Gosh, I mean, it's just so the Kings defense yesterday in the second half was actually phenomenal.
Right.
Once they got torched by Wiggins, Thompson, and Curry, who I think all had more than 16 points in the first half. They really did a good job. Curry only had 13 points in the second half because they were doubling him. And the Warriors just really never adjusted, which was was huge and instrumental in coming back from 25 points. Like, you can't be bad defensively and not get stops to come back from 25 points down.
Right, exactly.
Right, so their defense definitely stepped up. The troubling thing was they gave up 72 points back-to-back nights in the first half.
Yes.
So it's just like, I don't know if that's an effort thing. I mean, they give up a lot of open threes. Like, they are really daring teams to shoot well against them. And the sucky thing was, I think the Clippers shot, they shot 50% from three. They had 11 threes, I want to say, at half. Like, they were shooting phenomenal in that game. And that was maybe a thing that's like, well, I mean, we lost just because the other team shot extremely well. Mm-hmm. And you get a great shooting night from James Harden, which hasn't happened in a while. So I don't really know what to take from it. I guess I will give you Keegan has played better as an individual defender. So getting him back will be nice. I think Sasha is kind of a vulnerable spot with the more he's playing because of offense. He is kind of a defensive liability. I think he did, with that being said, he did do a great job against Golden State.
He did,
but
yeah.
I think there's just some aspects that he, I mean, he's a rookie at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I will say one of my favorite stats of the whole year right now is De'Aaron Fox is fourth in points per game in the NBA right now at 30.7. And
yeah, MVP conversation.
And DeMontis is third in rebounds. I feel like DeMontis has like had such a quiet start to the season. Like,
he's played ass.
Which is funny to say that because he's averaging 19 points a game on 58% shooting. He's 42% from the three-point line, 11.5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block per game. Like, that is a ridiculous stat line. But for whatever reason, I don't know why that's not coming through in the game.
Well, Kevon Looney's his daddy.
Dude, I know. He just totally shrinks. I don't know what it is about. I don't know what it is about Looney that just he seems so unwilling to go after. Like, he absolutely dominated Anthony Davis a couple weeks ago when they played the Lakers. Just torched him. And he did the same thing to Wembanyama the previous game. But whenever they play Looney and the Warriors, it's like he doesn't want to shoot. And I for the life of me, I don't know why.
Yeah, and then Zubox played absolutely great against him.
Right.
Like, that just shouldn't happen. I think Sabonis just, again, still has, like, one move. He's going to go straight into your chest. If you don't budge, he's going to spin to his left.
Mm-hmm.
If you cover both of those things, you great job. You lock down DeMontis Sabonis.
Right.
At least someone got in his ear between the Warriors game and the Clippers game to tell him, hey, dude, they're 20 feet away from you when you're at the three-point line. You could probably shoot it.
Shoot it. Yeah.
And he took and he made 2 of 3. I mean, he has time. He has so much time. I love how they pointed out. Mark Jones does a great job of pointing out. He, like, flips the ball to get his hands right on the seams, all perfect. I mean, he probably has the ball for, what, 3 seconds before he's shooting?
Oh, yeah, because they're just stepping off of him.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He can get that mid-range shot whenever he wants.
Well, and, like, Looney was giving it to him all game, and he just wasn't taking it. Yep. It was just not in the cards.
But this is what – I mean, 5 rebounds for Sabonis.
Right.
31 minutes against the Clippers. It's just – it's weird. Like, the only reason we, I think, are – questioning his performance is because we know how great of a player he is.
Right, exactly.
It's just weird how inconsistent he's been, because there was that stretch when they were on that 6-game winning streak where he was, especially when Fox was out, he was legit the best player on the court.
Yeah.
For those games. And definitely. Then it's just like, boom, nope, you're not getting the same thing.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I mean, the next time we film, we'll have made it through the first round of the in-season tournament, and we'll see where the Kings lie. I'm a little worried about the Pelicans. The Pelicans destroyed. Yeah, destroyed. The Kings are so small, so when they play big teams, it's just real. Like Minnesota, like last year, against Minnesota was so hard to watch. They just absolutely dominate the Kings with their size, and the Pelicans are kind of the same. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know how confident I am going into that, but I guess I'm more confident against the Pelicans. Like, if there's one team that I could pick for the Kings not to see in the playoffs, it would be Minnesota.
Well, they did. They're 1-0 against Minnesota.
Well, again,
I don't want to see a Warriors King series again. I know how like amazing that would be, but I can't watch the Warriors on my TV anymore, especially with that clown Draymond.
I hate them.
And I get
hate everything about
loves,
them.
Everyone loves Curry, but he's got some attitude.
He always has.
We've spent way too many.
Yeah, we don't need it. Yeah,
talking about the Warriors this year. I mean, we don't have to get into how much I hate them.
They're living rent free in our heads, and we need to stop.
Well, they can just match up with the Lakers. Well, the Warriors have the same problem that the Kings do. They're tiny.
They are tiny as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, last thing on that game, Gary Payton getting injured and being out for the rest of the game, was that dude kills the Kings every time we play. So the fact that he was out for a big chunk of that game totally helped. Totally helped
the Kings. Well, what the heck was Harrison Barnes doing? You remember that play where he has it underneath the basket after getting a defensive rebound and he decides to throw up a lollipop pass right in the backcourt? And Gary Payton's like, oh, let me take this.
Like, thanks. Thanks.
What was that?
I don't know. I don't know. All right. Well, a lot of NBA talk. That's kind of how these episodes are going to go. I mean, we're in the meat, like just the thick of it with the NBA season and the NFL season. We're going to be like splitting episodes. Let's move to the NFL. And we don't necessarily have to talk much about last week because that has come and gone. There actually is a Thursday night football game happening right now, which we had not made any picks for, although I think both of us probably would have picked Dallas. I think that's safe to say.
Oh, yeah. Seattle's done.
I
think Seattle just scored, but.
Yeah, they fell off a cliff. Like, they were everybody's darling at the beginning of the season. And well, totally.
They still have some tough games.
Oh, they absolutely do. Let's look at the upcoming games, actually.
Whoa. First thing, dude. Remember what we talked about last week?
Well, your picks?
No, I don't care about that. The Monday Night Flex.
Did you see what
came out this week?
Yes, they did flex a game.
And it was a game that we said there's no way that they would flex.
Right. Yeah, because it had Mahomes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we could. So they put Seattle, Philly, week, I want to say 15.
Week
15. Mm-hmm. They moved Seattle, Philly. And then, Fox. Fox takes Kansas City, New England. So how does that work?
I don't know.
Like, do they have to trade? Because I guess Fox probably was sitting there like, oh, yeah, we get KC at a 10 o'clock time. Like, that's not bad.
Yeah, but against the Patriots, like, that's not going to draw much.
Well, you get to talk about Patrick Mahomes for – it's almost like a better situation. Like, you don't have to waste time with talking about, oh, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick. Like, just talk about Patrick Mahomes, even when the Chiefs are on defense.
Yeah, the whole flexing and maybe trading between networks is interesting. I don't know if that – like, the inner workings of that are ever really going to come to light. It would be – really interesting if, you know, there was a game that needed to be flexed out and then one of the networks was like, yeah, we don't want that game. Like, I feel like it would be, if there's no way that that's how that works, but but I'm just imagining a scenario where it's like, wait a minute, you want to give us Zach Wilson versus Mac Jones and you guys get Dak Prescott versus Jalen Hurts? Yeah, BS. No way that's happening. Like, what? Like,
who do you think? What, are you trying to catch me with my pants down? What,
right, exactly. Like, so I would love to know how that works, because I imagine that the NFL just kind of has an ultimate, like, trump card. Like, sorry, this is how it's going to go. But I don't know. I the inner workings behind that would be really interesting to have a peek behind, because I'm just imagining them all sitting around a table and somebody going, veto, that's not happening. And then
what? No, they're on a Zoom call.
Right.
It's like, whoa, hey, Raj, you cut out. Did you say that we don't have Philly, Seattle? We actually get Arizona, Carolina? I just thought I heard that wrong.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Logs off.
Click. Yeah. Exactly. It just, I am a little bit surprised that they took that game out, because we were trying to sell it as Patrick Mahomes and like Bill Belichick, like maybe there's something there that you could do, but the Patriots have just fallen off such a humongous cliff that I guess even Patrick Mahomes couldn't save that game.
Like, we talking Kilimanjaro? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, basically. Basically.
Yeah, I just read an ESPN article. All it said was the NFL made the decision.
So they've got to have the interesting card.
Fox must owe them something that they were just able to do that.
Right. Right. Well, I owe you another win slot, because you took you took week 12, so you are now up 7-4 in picks, and that'll transition us into looking ahead to this upcoming week and into our picks. I was taking a peek at the games this weekend, and there's nothing really that like jumped off the page other than Eagles Niners. How you feeling going into that game heading to Philly?
A lot of talk coming into this game from both sides. I think we can all sit here and say that the Philly organization they got to be the pettiest with how much talk is coming into it. And have you seen videos of Sirianni's antics towards like opposing fans?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, kind of childish. Really comes off that way. I get their fans are probably saying some pretty like disgusting stuff.
Oh yeah.
But it's like he's reacting differently than any other coach in like NFL history.
He is going after people.
Yeah. And there's just a little talk between Debo and James Bradbury and AJ Brown. Blah, 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 blah. What I hate is the fact that San Francisco is favored in Philadelphia.
I was just looking up the odds. I wanted to see what it was.
I think they're up like 3, right?
Yeah.
Or 2.5.
49ers minus 3.
Oof.
Wow.
It's just too high. Like, that's just disrespectful. Like, I don't think even the biggest Niner fans would be like, oh yeah, that makes complete sense. Philly is 10-1.
Right.
Whatever you think about how they get there doesn't matter. They're 10-1 and they were in the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
So it's like, why are we disrespecting the Philly, especially in a week that the Niners have to play them? Because now that Philly's go, oh, you guys are disrespecting us, thinking that this team's better. All this stuff, it's like,
oh my God.
The Niners need to be like walking into this game unfavored. Because the last time the Niners were favored to do something, they ended up losing 3 straight against 3 horrible teams.
Minus 3. That is insane. I had not seen that number until right now. That is unbelievable how big that spread
is. Too high. Like, do I think the Niners will win? Of course. But would I be willing to bet that? No.
Well, I wouldn't take that either. There's no way.
So because Philly's at home, that's like, if they were playing on a neutral site, that would be San Francisco like favored 4.5.
Yeah.
That's just wild.
Well, because isn't the home team spotted 3 points anyway?
No, it used to be 3. It's not 3 anymore.
Okay. You're discounting. I think that's discounting the fact that like Philly is just a tough place to play in general.
Yep.
Even if the Eagles are bad.
Well, this time of the year, right? Like San Francisco's has never been a team that's like, oh yeah, cold weather, we play our best.
Right.
Nah. Like if that game's snowing, that's gonna be awful.
Oh yeah, that's Eagles by like 10. Unless you guys
Okay, well we don't have to go that
unless
far.
You guys just absolutely bludgeon them with a run game.
But I don't think that like Philly's defense is too good.
Yeah, their secondary hasn't been amazing, but their front seven is really, really good. Other than that, though, none of the games really stand out all that much. I mean, the Broncos-Texans one all of a sudden became pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as interesting as 49ers-Eagles, but the Broncos are arguably the hottest team in the NFL right now. The Texans are really fun to watch. So that's intriguing.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be raining and like 11 degrees in Philadelphia on Sunday night.
Well, there you go. And the Eagles just won that game against the Bills.
Yeah, that's advantage Philly. Right. For sure.
Which, by the way, that Philly, I mean, I know that game was almost a week ago at this point, but that Eagles-Bills game was incredible.
Hey, Bills looked good.
They did.
They rose up Josh Allen, reminding people why he's top five quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, they heard you criticizing them on our previous episode.
Did I?
Yeah, you like basically said they were done.
Well, they are. I mean, what are they, 6-6?
They're 6-6. They have a brutal schedule. They play the Eagles. They play the Chiefs. And then on December 10th, so they have a bye this week, and then they play the Cowboys. They still have the Chargers and the Dolphins on their schedule as well.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think they have Miami still.
Mm-hmm. Like that it's going to be tough for them to get into the playoffs with, especially if the Broncos stay hot and the Steelers keep winning.
Yeah, and the Browns. Browns are sitting there too.
The Browns are still there. The Colts all of a sudden are 6-5. The Texans, who everybody loves, is also 6-5. Like the Bills have a real uphill battle to get into that wild card spot.
So they are done. So you agree with me?
I'm not saying they're done, but they probably have the toughest remaining schedule out of all of the teams that we just listed. I couldn't pull that from memory, but I'd be shocked if anybody has a more brutal back-to-back-to-back weeks than the Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, and then the Chargers. You get a break with the Patriots, but then you have the Dolphins again. Like, that's horrendous. If that's the teams that you have to play in order to get into the playoffs, that's tough.
Well, I'll raise you Cowboys, Niners, Eagles, at Tennessee, Steelers, Arizona. You want to play that schedule?
And who's that for?
The Seabirds.
The Seahawks. Yeah, that's tough too.
And that's at Dallas, at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least they have Philly at home.
And they get Philly at home.
Which I don't think that'll matter. Yeah. But then they have to go east for a Tennessee game. That's kind of late in the year to be going east.
Yeah. And then you come back to play the Steelers. And for whatever reason, the Steelers just can't seem to lose.
They find a way.
They just find a way.
That's tough. For a team that's already not playing well, that's tough.
And they finally broke 400 yards. Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, look at them.
Still can't score.
No, can't
still
score.
Can't give me – I have Pickens in another league, so I know what you're feeling.
Yes.
I thought that was a really good selection. It has turned out to be not so much.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought Zay Flowers was going to be awesome too. That Gus Edwards has surpassed him.
Hey, Zay Flowers had –
But it was
two tubs.
Yeah, but that last one was like a garbage time touchdown. Like, it came like so lucky at the end. It was I saw that and was like, oh yeah, 22. But it was really like the touchdown at like the snuck him up into that the higher end range. And that was his first good game in weeks, like legit weeks.
If you guys can't hear, Jason is down bad in fantasy.
Yeah, my team fell off a cliff.
He came to me crawling and was like, I'll give you Derrick Henry for Jalen Warren.
I didn't
straight
say
up.
I would do that. I said I was considering potentially.
We had it proposed and everything.
We had it proposed. I did back out, though, because I thought what you had offered me was way more in my favor with the people, because you were going to take – you weren't going to take Derrick Henry and you were going to take two other players. And I was like, I'm just completely hosing you right here. And I felt bad about it.
Oh, I felt bad. You have a conscience.
But yeah, my team has fallen. has fallen. So
okay, so we need to get our picks.
Yeah, we need to get our picks.
Whoa, I forgot about it.
We need to get our picks. The only, it's really Broncos, Texans, Eagles, 49ers. I mean, the Bengals, Jaguars would have been an awesome game, but with Burrow being out, that's no longer that appealing. I guess Rams, Browns, you can try to sell. Chiefs, Packers, maybe. But like this week's not. Not all that crazy in terms of huge games. It's 7-4 right now. You have the lead. We both would have taken Dallas, but who are you going to take with the Colts Titans?
I'll take the Colts.
Yeah, I've been riding with the Colts. They've done me well recently. I have no reason to think that the Titans are going to win that game, especially when they just seem so reluctant to give the ball to Derrick Henry. I don't understand. I know I'm not watching them day in and day out, but this was the first game last week for Derrick Henry since week 8 that he had he didn't even have 20 carries. He had 20 carries in week 8, and since then he's not had 20 carries at all. I don't get that. And again, I'm not watching them, but that just seems really weird. Ooh. God, my fantasy team sucks.
Well, this is going to be no JT, though. That is a big deal. JT's been playing really well for the Colts.
Yes, and I have Zach Moss. I was able to get him. So we'll see. We'll see if I benefit from that at all.
He probably will go. I don't think it's that big of a drop-off.
Yeah, well, just based on looking at his on his stats when JT was out, I mean,
he was like the second best rusher in the league.
Yeah, I mean, week 2 to week 5, it was 88 yards, 120, 70, 165. He had 3 touchdowns over that span, and then he got another one in week 6. Like, he was playing really well.
Yeah. I'm tempted to take. I just don't think Tennessee can put up that many points.
I don't either. Then the Colts have been hot recently, so I'm going to roll with them. What about Falcons, Jets?
Falcons.
Yeah, I agree. I can't. Well, actually, I could see a scenario in which the Jets defense just keeps the Falcons under like 6 points.
But we've been saying that, like I've said that, I think every week since they beat the Eagles, and they've managed to lose. Well, they beat the Giants 13-10, but they've managed to lose every single one of those games.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, against the Raiders. Oh, yeah, yeah. Their defense can totally carry that. No. If the Chargers, yeah, the Chargers aren't playing well, no.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. Lions-Saints.
We be remiss if we didn't bring up the fact that Aaron Rodgers is actually practicing?
It is a little bit weird. I'm kind of on the idea that I'll believe it when I see it.
But the fact that he's practicing
is crazy. But I just don't believe, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that the organization is going to let him back out there if the Jets have legitimately nothing to play for. Because at that
point, I bet they do.
But my question is why?
Because it's history.
But you could make more history next year if he's fully healthy.
Nah. I mean, it's not like they're going to sit. If they clear him, that means they're saying, yes, he's just as likely to get injured if he wasn't coming off surgery. Like, that's the clearing aspect. Like, if he is fully clear medically, they should let him play in a game.
They should let him play a series, and then he's done.
This is like the Alex. Well, the Alex Smith thing is way bigger than what Aaron Rodgers is doing. But it's kind of like, could Aaron Rodgers get comeback player of the year? But Aaron Rodgers would comeback player of the year.
I hope not, because again, like it just I don't believe that the organization would let him play extended minutes. I really don't. It just seems like that would be a fruitless endeavor. I'll see it when I believe it. Cause right now I cannot envision a world where they actually put him back out there and go, you know what? Yeah, we're 4-11, but take a crack at it. Why not? Go ahead.
So he is on pace. I saw they might activate him for the Christmas Eve game against the Commanders. What? Oh, I got the perfect. They don't play him there. They definitely don't play him at Cleveland. That is asking for him, Myles Garrett to just lay on his leg.
Yeah, no.
The last game of the year at New England. New England's not playing hard. Jets won't be playing for anything. Let him go out there.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. That's my potential Super Bowl hanging in the balance. I would be, I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm not the owner of a team. I don't know. But
if he gets injured, he gets a full off season anyway.
I know, but it would be coming into next season after an Achilles injury and let's say maybe whatever other injury. No, I don't like it. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it. I don't have anything other to say than I don't like it.
I say do it.
No. Lions Saints.
I green light it. Give me the Lions.
I agree. Broncos Texans. This is a tough game.
Give me the Texans.
My goodness. I do not want to take the Broncos. I just
did you pick the Broncos last week or did I?
We must have. That wasn't a game that we differed on. So, I did. Both? No, I picked the Broncos. No, sorry, Broncos. Yes. Because I was giving Russell Wilson a little bit of credit, you were crapping on him. Yep. I just lost a man. That heartbreaking loss for the Texans against the Jaguars. That field goal. That, I mean, it's just like one more ball rotation away from landing and going to overtime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, you can't even blame the kicker. Like,
no. Like, if they have Jake Elliott.
Like, that's – yeah, right.
They might win that game.
Right. That kicker was dead on, but just didn't have the strength. Like, I wouldn't even – I don't even blame the
kicker.
That
was from over 60, right? That was, like, 63?
Yeah, I think it was, like, 60 or 60. Yeah, one, something like that. It was a monster kick. Man, the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, who were super hot at the time, and the Browns recently.
Yep. All playoff teams.
They're on a roll. And I think I saw a stat yesterday morning, that I believe they've had 3 takeaways in each of their last 4 games.
Yep. This is CJ Stroud.
But yeah. I am rooting desperately for the Texans.
Yep.
But I'm going to take the Broncos.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Broncos.
They did you right last week.
They did. I was not afraid of the Browns defense. They put up 29. I don't know. We'll see. That game I said was pretty interesting. I just realized in that moment how hard it was to pick. So.
Is that the marquee game of the week?
I don't know. Oh, man. Okay. I'm surprised that 49ers-Eagles didn't get flexed to Bengals with Bengals-Jags. Let's do Chargers.
Well, Fox would be sitting there like, what the hell?
I know.
What are we doing now? We're taking all the good games.
I know. Chargers Patriots.
Give me the Chargers.
Agreed. Steelers Cardinals. I'll take the Steelers at home.
Yep.
I'll take the Dolphins on the road against the Commanders.
Yeah, sneaky tough game though.
I don't. Maybe, but
Washington puts up some points.
Well, Sam Howell's just the guy, apparently.
Yeah, he's leading the league in passing yards, I feel like.
I think he's up there in interceptions, too. he's having a Jameis Winston year. Buccaneers, Panthers. I'll take the Bucs because the Panthers.
Hey, Tampa Bay, what are they doing?
Elaborate.
Well, I mean, they had a 4-game losing streak, and then now they've lost 2 straight. Like, they should be better with how weak their schedule is.
Yeah, their schedule, I mean, their remaining schedule is the Panthers, the Falcons, the Packers, the Jaguars, and the Saints. The Jaguars are really the only team on there that I think you're worried about, but...
And the Panthers, again, they get 2 against the Panthers.
Yeah.
They might win out.
I don't think they'll win out. But, I mean, as funny as it is, they still have a chance to win the division, so...
Well, that division is so bad.
It is.
Like, why does a team get to come out of that division?
I know. Give me the Bucks.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and give me the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. That kind of hurts.
I'm going to do it. I think I've picked the 49ers in every single game this year, but... In Philly, in that weather, after watching them win that exact game against Buffalo last week, I'm not, again, overly confident in the pick, but I'll take the Eagles.
I mean, you just know this game's going to come down to Jake Moody trying to hit a 45-yard field goal.
Right, in, like, hurricane weather.
And he just shanks it. Well, give me the Niners, man. First off, I need Ayuk to go off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's most important. But do you think this is a revenge game?
I don't know, because the circumstances surrounding last year were just so unique. I mean, if you're a 49ers fan and you're the 49ers, obviously you hate the Eagles. But
do you?
Yeah, for you know, just the way that game ended, like the 49ers didn't even get a chance.
Well, that's not the Eagles' fault.
I know it's not the Eagles' fault, but if you're a player, you just you go into it going, well, we didn't even get a chance to show them like what our best could be. So this is our chance to do it now. So maybe from a revenge standpoint, you could frame it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, you're the fan. What do you think?
Well, the sucky part is, I think even if the Niners were to win this game, they still might not get home field advantage in the NFC.
Yeah, Philly does have a pretty good lead on everybody right now.
They got a 2-game lead over San Fran and Detroit. I mean, the thing that I would say is I would rather the Niners lose this game than the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the biggest no-brainer of all time? Right. So it's like, if I can choose that, then sure.
I'll tell you what.
Sign me up.
You know, we were talking about brutal stretches of schedules. I mean, the Eagles beat the Cowboys. They beat the mm-hmm. Chiefs. They just beat mm-hmm. the Bills. If they beat the Niners, I mean, man, that is. And then they have the Cowboys again. And then they play the Seahawks.
Yep.
So
brutal.
That's a rough go. But again, I think that bolsters kind of why I'm going to ride with the Eagles, just because of, I mean, they've.
Because you're a hater. That's why.
I'm not.
You're
a
big old hater.
Yeah, whatever. Rams, Browns.
I know you're going to take the Browns, so I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm not. I'm taking the Rams.
Dang it.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams. I'm not
taking PJ Walker.
Yeah, I know. I'm not either. I'm not either. Chiefs, Packers. The Chiefs.
Packers have been playing better.
They have been, but they're not good enough to beat the Chiefs.
Good for Jordan Love, man.
Yeah, it's they played really well against the Lions.
Yeah, it's awesome that people like wrote him off, especially what they lost. They lost 17-19 to the Broncos earlier mm-hmm. this year. And wasn't that Thursday night? That is Thursday night written all over it.
Yeah.
But beating Detroit, beating the Chargers, I mean, those are just big wins.
Yeah.
The dude, and he's played well.
He has.
With that being said, yeah, I think I'm going to go Chiefs.
You got to. You have to.
Even though they're not playing well.
No, they're not.
Yeah, but the Raiders sure made them look good. Woo!
Yeah, well, we can move on from that. Bengals, Jaguars will take the Jags.
Yeah.
All right, so we're only at two games.
Ugh.
So we were, and it's funny because it was the two biggest games that we had outlined this week, and we split on those.
Yep.
I don't feel any, like, none of these feel obvious to switch on.
Well, what's the score of the Seattle-Dallas game? Maybe that'll...
17-7, Dallas.
Oh, Dallas scored?
Yes.
Who scored? Did Tony Pollard score?
Nope. Dak threw another touchdown.
To Cooks. Dang it! Dak might be MVP this year.
I don't think he's going to be MVP.
He's putting up some stats against some bad teams.
Yeah, he's got 2,900 yards, 23 touchdowns, 6 picks. Those are really good numbers. I'm not sure about MVP nod. He'll definitely be in the conversation.
If they beat Philly?
Well, that's not going to happen.
I think it's in Dallas.
No, give me Philly every day, all day, every day.
Oh, so now you're a Philly fan.
I don't hate Philly by any means. I love Jalen Hurts. He's just really fun. He's just really easy to root for. You're right. The Sirianni stuff is a bit weird, but
it's kind of a D-bag.
Yeah. There's not an obvious one that feels like an easy switch on all of games.
I'll find you one.
Oh, you'll find one. You already said the Dolphins Commanders were.
I don't feel that good about it. What about Arizona with Kyler back?
Stealing one against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh?
All I gotta do is score 20 points.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But they only had 14 against the Rams. The Rams.
Yep.
Oh, man. That stupid Kyren Williams game.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. He destroyed me in fantasy.
Again, like I said, there's not an obvious one. Could you make a case that the Packers could beat the Chiefs?
I don't want to make that case.
Okay.
I'm thinking Tennessee is the answer.
You're thinking Tennessee.
What was the game that they just played?
They played the Panthers and they won. Yeah,
they barely beat the Panthers. Well, they scored 17 points against the Panthers. Give me Tennessee.
All right, so I'm going against my better judgment with the Broncos. You're going against your better judgment with the Titans. All right, I think it might come down to the Philly and 49ers game.
Or you just win. That's how it's going to go. The Niners are going to win, but you're going to win both the other two games.
Oh, yeah?
That's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I think the Texans are probably going to win, even though I'm picking the Broncos. And I definitely think the Colts are going to win, so we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Not as big of a slate as last week. We had 7 games. Now we're at 3. But maybe that'll make it more exciting, easier to keep track of.
So all I have to do is like win this week, and I clinch it.
I don't know.
I have to win the next couple of weeks.
I was gonna say I haven't looked that far ahead.
Well, your percentage of winning is whew, it's dipping.
Well, I did. I mean, the fact that I'm even back in it at all is a miracle.
Are you? It's 7-4.
Hey, if I win this week, it's 7-5, and we're talking about a whole new life.
Was it 5-4 at one point? Yes.
Yeah.
Was it getting a little scary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I've been doing a lot of losing recently between here and my fantasy team. So.
Uh-oh.
So I got
lay down on my couch, Jason. Tell me how it makes you feel.
I got Jared Goff right now as my quarterback for this week. So.
Oh,
because Baltimore is on a bye.
Yeah, and you got your Raiders. Are you just gonna be chilling?
Yeah, just gonna be doing homework, pretty much. Gonna have the games on, and
man, there's some bad teams on byes.
Yeah, just be knocking out some homework. So that's gonna be my weekend. Oh golly, you got any plans?
Oh, we didn't even talk about. I went to the Oregon State game.
That's right.
And it was amazing. Got to be on the field before warmups.
I saw that.
Went to a tailgate. So we, I didn't know everything, and I don't. Truthfully, these were like almost a gift from my stepdad, and I don't think he knew exactly what this like package involved. But we met a guy that works for the Ducks like ticketing office, and he led us over. It's this march to victory. So it's like the team gets dropped off by the buses at near the stadium, and they march. They walk through this area where there's fans, and they go through like this specific route, and we walk to it. And when I saw that on the itinerary, I was like, "Oh, that's cool! Like, do we just get to like sit there and watch?" No. This guy was leading us through the crowd. We go past the gates that where the players are, and the players are standing there, and we are standing there at like near the front. So then they let all the players go by right next to us, like Bo Nix, probably 2 feet away from me.
Right.
Dan Lanning, who doesn't look as big as I thought he would in person. Not going to lie. But he comes running by me, and all the players go by, and then this guy's like that works for the Ducks is like, okay, we're going now. Follow me. So we're following the team.
That's awesome.
Through this march. And the like there's thousands of fans that are just yelling and screaming, and we're giving kids high fives and stuff. And it was like no one thinks that we're players, but this is nuts.
Right. That's awesome.
Oh, it was almost like I feel really on display right now. Like all these people can see me.
You know what?
Right now, this is kind of weird.
You know what? I didn't even tell you. I totally forgot. The reason why I couldn't come to that game was because I had a tattoo appointment. That was scheduled the day after. Like, there was no way that I could make the turnaround. Well, when I had texted you initially that I couldn't be there, a few days later, you had said Charlie went with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had said that you had gotten that filled. Well, literally like the day after.
No, don't tell me.
Yeah. Literally the day after you said you got it filled, my guy canceled.
Oh, yes. Dude, I'm sorry.
So I could have been there.
Oh, I didn't know that, Jason. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It was funny because I was sitting there and I was like, oh, damn it. Like, it was like a wave. It was like it hit me in like a wave. I was like, oh, man, I'm not even going to get to do my tattoo thing. Oh crap, I could have gone to the Oregon game. And then I was like, oh no, wait, he got a film, damn it. All right, well, I guess I'm just hanging out here.
And you know, honestly, it was like so incredible, like that experience.
Yeah, no, I bet.
But I wouldn't want to do, like, there's probably people that do that for every single game.
Yeah.
And it's like I wouldn't want to do that. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a suite every single game.
Right.
Because I feel like you wouldn't appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not as cool. Well, there is something. I mean, I've never been in a suite for a football game before. I've been in one for a basketball game and one for a baseball game a long time ago. But at least for me, there is something really special about just being shoulder to shoulder with all of the other fans, especially when like cool plays happen and you're just like high fiving and like chest bumping just like random strangers. That's always really fun.
Yeah.
That totally adds to it.
But it was like the fact that I'd never done that before, like been led on the field before the game. And we were there during the national anthem.
Were you ever on the field when you were there? Like when you were going to school?
Yeah. So when it was like my first week, they let people, like we got to just like they were taking a group of people and I got to go and we walked on the field. Which was pretty cool.
Nice. I was going to say, I was wondering if that was your first time there, like actually on the field. So,
no, me and Otzen go way back.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But what a game. I mean, what an absolute game to go to. I think I'm a good luck charm.
Are they getting into the playoffs?
They got to beat Washington. Again, this is like the same. It's mirroring my feelings with the San Francisco Eagles game. Like, these are two huge games. And the Oregon is favored by too much. Like, I'm not mad if Oregon's favored against Washington by a few points, but to be favored by 9.5 against a team that's already beaten you is just absurd. Like, if I was sitting
in
Oregon's locker room, I'd be like, what the hell?
Like, thanks, Vegas, guys.
Yeah, what are you guys trying to do to us? Like, we're not saying anything about it. We're going to win? Yeah. But do we want them to be thinking, to be feeling disrespected? No.
Right.
And that's just BS.
Yeah, 9 is a lot for a team that is where's Oregon's, like, 5 or 6?
Yeah, 5.
And Washington is they're 3. Like, right there. Yeah, okay. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And it's in Oregon, right?
No, it's in Vegas. It's a neutral site.
Oh, it's a neutral site. Okay. That's even worse. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's worse. That's
even worse.
That's worse now that I'm thinking about it.
The third best team in the country is underdogs by 9.5. It just doesn't make any sense.
On a neutral site. That's weird. That is strange. Yeah, I would hate that if I was a player on Washington. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, if I was a player on Washington, I'd be like, there's no freaking way.
Right.
You think that we beat them.
Exactly.
And then if an Oregon, I'm literally just rolling my eyes if I see that.
Like, oh, all right. Well, expect to hear that when a wide receiver catches a ball.
Yeah.
Favored by 9, my ass.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. December is tomorrow as of the recording of this episode. So everybody who was absolutely dying because they haven't had their Christmas decorations up at midnight tonight, go ahead, throw them up.
Bet most families have already put them up.
Yeah. Brie already put up ours.
I'm a big,
she broke her own rule.
Well, Jenna's big thing is like, why would you limit happiness? And no, my thing is, like, you just can't overshadow Thanksgiving.
Right. That was my thing, too. And Brie was always, as soon as December 1st rolls around, that's when they're going up. And I was kind of the same way, too. But she felt like she needed it this year, so she put them up. So at least she waited till after Thanksgiving, though. So.
Yeah, the Miller household did not.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a little suspect. That's a little suspect.
You're telling me, man. Yeah. You're telling me.
That's a little suspect. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all very soon.
See ya.